Hey guys, this is Melody.
And this is Erin.
From the Heaving Bosoms podcast. We're two long distance BFFs, and every single week we recap and review a new romance novel. We have recapped everything in the genre, so there's definitely something for you.
We've got dukes, we've got vampires, we've got aliens, we've got billionaires, we've got pirates. Whatever you're into, we've got it.
Yes. You can find us on all your favorite podcatchers, so keep being a badass.
And love yourself as much as you love happy endings.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, this is Lisa
and Rebecca,
and we are here on The Secret Life of Weddings.
If you like drama, you're in the right place,
where we tell you the world's craziest but true wedding stories. So get ready for the drama on The Secret Life of Weddings. Hey Squeams, welcome to episode 123 of The Secret Life of Weddings podcast. This is Lisa
and Rebecca,
and let's find out what is in wedding news this week.
Oh, here we go. According to Harper's Bazaar, Flora Alexandra Ogilvy.
Ogilvy.
Cousin to Prince Harry and William, is engaged to Timothy Vesterberg. Vesterberg, 26, commented always and forever on Instagram, where he posted the same photo as she did. The Swedish former professional ice hockey player recently moved to London, where his now fiance is based, to become an investment banker. It's not known where the ceremony will take place, or indeed where. If the couple get married next year, it would mean two royal weddings within 12 months, as Pinterest
Beatrice. I love it. That's her new nickname.
Princess Beatrice is scheduled to be wed in 2020. More royal weddings, everybody. Yay!
Who doesn't love royal pomp and circumstance? Am I right?
There you go. Yeah.
And this week in the fuck it bucket / advice corner, I don't know if I agree with this, Rebecca. No, I have to just give you a hard time about this because I am obsessed with sugar everything. So Rebecca writes this. She put wedding cakes, donuts, and or other deliciousness potentially in the fuck it bucket this week. Rebecca, explain your actions immediately, please.
This is more of an advice piece on, you know, a lot of people really stress over getting cakes, and it's always been tradition to have a cake, right?
Absolutely.
I think a lot of people maybe not be aware of this, but it used to be fruitcake.
Oh, actually, I did know that now that you say it, but I forgot.
Yeah. So traditionally, it was fruitcake that was served at a wedding. Ew, gross. I don't like fruitcake.
No.
So then it turned into these very elaborate, beautiful, gorgeous, stunningly created wedding cakes. And then it started transition over to donuts and cheese and everything else in between.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of any kind of alternative that is a little bit fun.
Yeah. So I don't know about you, but I know my wedding season this year, a lot of people decided not to have cakes.
Mm-hmm. I've actually seen that trend a lot more in the last several years. Just depends on the client, you know?
Yeah. But I think people need to know they don't need to stress over it. It's not something to stress about.
I think that's great advice. Absolutely.
I actually had one wedding this year and they didn't have anything. They had nothing. They had a little picture frame there because, you know, generally dessert gets served with the meal.
Okay. I did that for my wedding.
Yeah. So a lot of the times.
No, sorry. I did the opposite for my wedding. I actually had them serve the wedding cake.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So did I.
Right.
Yes. But, you know, now we've been married a long time and things are changing.
That's a really nice way to say we're old.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people are stressing over having wedding cakes and what kind of cake and whether or not to do donuts or this or that or whatever. I did have a wedding this year where they had a picture frame out and said that they donated that portion of the wedding to a foundation.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And I thought that's awesome. And they said, we hope you enjoy your dessert, though. You know, because they had dessert served anyways. So they opted for that.
People are usually so darn stuffed by the end when you're eating, you know, hors d'oeuvres and you're having your meal and you're doing all this. I'm not saying don't do something fun, but don't feel locked into it either. Like, say you want to have at 11 o'clock a poutine station. I'm down for that. It doesn't have to be cake.
Exactly. And that's not to shit on, you know, cake bakers or anything like that. It's just that I think we should let couples know they can throw it into the fuck it bucket if they need to.
They can if they want to. Otherwise, if you throw your cake in the fuck it bucket, I'm diving in head first to eat that motherfucker because I am all about the cake. That is just, that's just something you need to learn about me.
Yeah. I even had a couple who did an ice cream truck instead.
Yep. I've had that too.
Yeah, or the big cheese wheels. They made a cake out of cheese wheels, and then they cut up the cheese with meats and stuff for the late night buffet. Yep. Like, there's so many different ways you can do this, guys.
They do that regularly at a vineyard I shoot at, or did shoot at, back down down Niagara Way. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Cheese. Who doesn't like cheese?
You are just an inhuman monster if you don't love cheese.
I don't think I like it as much as you do, but I do like it.
Yeah. I just called vegans inhuman monsters. So we're not going to be able to recover from that. Good night, everybody.
No. bye, Lisa.
Bye bye. So I'm off the show. it's just Rebecca now. I hope you really like her because I'm out.
There you go. Uh-oh. All right. I can't carry us.
Yes, you can do it. Believe in yourself. And on that note, our first story this week is going to be read by Rebecca conveniently.
Yes, there we go. Okay, so I had to put the name in here because she put her name. And as you know, I've been watching, binging Friends. And she said,
I just read it.
Regina Phalange.
Oh, man.
This officially just became my favorite name we've gotten that has come through our email. Like,
the only thing that could top that is Princess Consuela Banana Hammock.
Yeah,
it's the only thing.
Or crap bag.
Crap bag. That's right. That's right.
Okay. It says, Rebecca and Lisa, my husband and I were shooting a wedding at a ranch. It was a little rough as the couple didn't have a timeline. No DJ and everything was being planned as they went along. Oh, yikes. After the traditional first dance, mother and son, father and daughter dances, the bride had the dance with four other people in the family. Of course, nobody told us this, and my plan to use the restroom after the initial three dances kept getting pushed further and further out. I had to go really bad.
Oh, no.
I hate that feeling, honestly. So finally, after all the dances and cake cutting, they announced that the dance floor was open, and I bolted for the restroom. My husband followed along to show me where the bathroom was. It wasn't a bathroom, but a dark porta potty that smelled worse than the horse poo we were surrounded by.
Oh, no.
Oh, gross. I just couldn't do it. My bladder was about to burst, so I tried to run behind the shed to just squat and pee. Oh, you tried to chooch. Nice. But my husband decided it would be funny to snap pictures of me running. Which made me laugh and pee. Pee my fucking pants.
Oh, no.
I was wearing a black dress and it was poorly lit ranch venue. So I took my underwear off and, not having a trash can anywhere to throw them in, ditched them behind the shed on top of the pesticide spray jugs. Oh, my God. That's right. The wedding photographer pissed her pants and left a souvenir at the venue. Oh, my God.
Now I know why she uses the name Regina Phalange.
Exactly. My husband couldn't stop laughing, and I'm still mortified. I did go and clean myself up and proceeded to finish shooting the wedding like the fucking professional that I am. Commando. Nice.
Oh, man.
Shout out to my husband for not judging my weak bladder, shooting while I was MIA, and encouraging me to send this story to you ladies.
Yes.
Moral of the story, frequent the restroom whenever possible and always have a timeline for your wedding. The pissed off photographer.
Ah!
Or sorry, the pissed photographer. My bad.
The pissed photographer. Oh, what a great story. Thank you so much. And thank you to your husband for telling you to send that shit to us. Because
yes.
He is our MVP right now for this episode.
He's our hero.
Wow. That's great. Thank you so much. Oh, man. All right. Want to say thank you to our new Patreon members, Pia S, Maya C, JG, Becca H, Joanna V, Shannon C, and Melina. You guys are
look at that.
Awesome. We had a good week. Thank you. You went to patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings to support the show and get more drama for your llama. Extra episodes and the first 10 are free. So get over there as soon as you finish binging this show. Okay. Thank you again. So now we are going to finish part three of our Canadian, what did we call it? Canadian wedding saga. Canadian wedding saga. I thought so, but I didn't lean into it and I screwed up.
Lean, baby. Lean.
Okay. I'm leaning. Part three. This is the saga of a woman from the South Pacific who escorted her step-grandmother Heidi to Canada for her cousin Jess's wedding. In the last part, there was drama about whether or not Jess really wanted to marry Noah. And at least four people tried to get the author to make Jess's wedding cake in a strange kitchen in a strange country. They were not being very nice to her. They were all treating her like their personal baker and stuff.
Yeah.
That was very uncool. Well, it's the morning after the wedding, and I'm waiting for a pot of tea to be delivered by room service. So here's the last part of the saga, reconstructed from the texts I sent my friends during the wedding last night. So it's a bit choppy. Wedding update. The wedding was outside and bloody cold. We all wore our coats. The bride wore Birkenstocks and carried a kale bouquet. Not judging. Though she's
kale?
Wearing...
Like kale?
Kale. Okay. Like the kale you eat.
Oh, boy.
Not judging. Though she's wearing a floor-length beaded gown, which is very pretty. She was shivering during the ceremony as the only person not properly rugged up. That's amazing. Can I just say? I think rugged up is supposed to be like, you know, wearing a coat.
Yeah.
It sounds like... I don't even want to say. It sounds good. I felt the groom should have offered his coat. Also, she styled her hair so that when she's at the top of the aisle, we can't see her face because all her hair is on the audience's side. Poor planning. The father of the groom is wearing Crocs. Oh, no. God has been mentioned many, many times in this service. The celebrant brought up divorce within the first 2 minutes of the service. I've seen that happen. It's interesting. And compared the bride to a bicycle. Apparently, the celebrant and the bride are close friends. This is strange. The show has been stolen by a small child streaking during the paper signing. Wow, in the cold. That's some guts.
Yeah. I'm hot.
Seriously, let me out of my diaper. We're playing a get-to-know-everyone game and have been issued name tags. The tables are decorated with bunches of kale and mason jars. The kale is from the groom's garden and has therefore crossed the border, which is just weird to me. There's bottles of kombucha on the table, and we've been told to eat all the food because they want to have a zero-waste wedding. There's a compost bucket in the middle of the floor if we do have leftovers. That is wrong and the grossest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Ew.
No. A wedding is no place for a compost bucket.
No.
The photographer and her assistant are getting a meal, though, which is A+. Thought Lisa and Rebecca would like to know this part. Yeah. Yeah, we do. Some family friends are giving a toast to the bride in the form of an acrostic poem about the bride's integrity. What does acrostic mean?
Yeah, you're asking the wrong person.
I feel kind of dim right now. I don't know. It's okay. She's super smart, whoever wrote this. Oh, no. Now they're telling a story about how they visited the bride for a holiday, and she took them to a 2-hour spin class at 7 a.m., then took them to brunch, then for cross-country skiing. Then they made homemade pizzas from scratch, including kneading the dough. Remind me not to visit the bride for a holiday. Ah, the groom's sister is giving the cue to speech and just called the bride the wrong name. Awkward. Ooh, now my aunt is roasting the groom for his accent and dragging the bride for being nitpicky and perfectionist. This is amazing. Oh, a surprise. My grandmother has written a poem about the bride and groom she'd like to recite. Holy shit, that poem was something. Here's the opening lines. Today is special because Jesse will wed. Can't wait any longer to get into bed. Noah's so lucky. He's chosen the best. Life will be happy, romping with zest. The rest of it was filled with smutty innuendos. The bride is mortified. Go, Grandma.
I like a dirty grandma.
I like Grandma. She's funny.
That's awesome.
I picture her as Betty White. Speaking of Grandma, they got her to read a children's book during the ceremony. That's ironic. About taking chances, which felt pointed in light of Jess and Noah's on-again, off-again relationship. Also, Grandma loathes both my aunt and my cousin's dogs and freaks out every time they're near her, which is just funny. Okay, first dance time. Oh, God, it's choreographed. And involves lip syncing.
And nice. And
trust falls.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's over. Time for other lip syncs. The first lip sync is a guy wearing lederhosen lip syncing to My Favorite Things. That sounds really, really not good. That's over. And now he's leading us in the chicken dance. Why is the dance floor between me and the exit? This is cruel. Next lip sync is Like a Virgin.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. This is where I would nope out. You ready? Okay. Celebration started playing and I bailed, claiming a dead phone. Good girl. I would be running out of there with my hair on fire. Do you know what? Just a quick thing. I was at the mall shopping the other day. I walked in to look for a winter coat. I hadn't been in the store. Celebration was playing. I fucking turned right around and walked out. I can't deal with that song. I left my phone to charge and played a spirited game of The Floor is Lava with some 8-year-olds. Very proud of my ability to balance on one leg while completely plastered. Ooh, Sunday bar time. They've brought in a couple to teach swing dancing to the guests. That's actually pretty cute. All of us introverts are hiding downstairs from the swing party upstairs. Despite his questionable footwear, the father of the groom is very sweet. He worked for Caltech, so we had a great chat about telescopes and the importance of teaching maths. I've also been talking to people about Katmai National Park's Fat Bear Week. Yay, science. I'm down for anything that has fat bears. I think that sounds like a lot of fun, actually. Okay, it's 10 p.m. I've been here since 3. I've drunk all the nice wine. I'm calling it a night. Crap, my suitcase is still in Sally's car, which is parked out on the dressage ring. Know what's a fun way to end a wedding? Walking across a sand dressage ring in high heels while carrying a 25-kilogram suitcase. I have no idea how heavy that is, even though I'm Canadian. Suitcase rescued. I didn't fall over or drop it. Taxi is here. Party still raging. Bye. In reflection, I have no idea why this was billed as an, quote, intimate alternative ceremony. It was exactly the same as previous weddings I've been to, just with more Jesus. More compost. There were no rituals, chanting, hippies, smoke ceremony. Nobody consumed anyone else's bodily products. No one was naked. There were no drugs. People didn't sing their vows. It was a standard wedding ceremony. So that was a little disappointing. It's all over now. The post-wedding brunch is done. The rented chairs and cutlery are all stacked up by the door for pickup. And I'm off to a pumpkin patch with my baby cousins this afternoon, which should be fun. We don't have pumpkin patches and Halloween at home. So yay, fun Canadian experience.
Wow. Thank you.
Bravo for that story. And you hung in there. Thank you for getting it all out.
She survived. Amazing.
Great, great saga. If you have a short or long wedding story, send it to us. secretlifeofweddings@gmail.com.
All right. Our next story. A mother so bad you can't make her up. Mm-mm. You ready, Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a freelance makeup artist. Given I live in a very small town, there's only a few of us, and if we're booked for a big event we might struggle to handle, we often call each other to come help and split the money. We all charge pretty much the same rate, so it works out great. However, we're all known for different things being our best work. For example, I'm better known for crazy, colorful eye looks, and I get booked a lot by local performers and drag artists because of this. The girl I'm working with at the time of this story is the only one in town that knows how to do airbrush makeup, and she has a portable kit to do it anywhere. While we can both do pretty much anything, there are things we are better at, and when we work together, we tend to split up the work accordingly. She is hired to do a full bridal party, makeup for the bride, 6 bridesmaids, the mother of the bride, and the mother of the groom. It is a lunch wedding. And to avoid having a start at 6 a.m. for the photographer to arrive at 11, she calls me. She shows up at 7:30 and starts doing everyone's complexion. I roll in an hour later, ready to do everyone's eye makeup, brows, and lipstick. The bride is the sweetest woman on earth, as are the bridesmaids. They're all laughing, chatting to us, and offering us food, and the hairdresser is seamlessly slotting in between us and working on hair. The mother of the bride is a sweet lady too, if a little shy. When I ask her what kind of look she wants, she quietly says, "Oh, I'm not sure if you've got a spackle gun in that kit, sweetheart."
Aww.
Which makes us all laugh, and she is amazed at how the airbrush makeup looks on her skin. Around 9:30, the problems start. Mother of the groom. Quote, "This is ridiculous. We're going to be late." By this point, everyone but her and one bridesmaid has their complexion finished, and I've done the rest on four bridesmaids and the bride's mom. It is simple eye makeup, just a single color through the crease and some winged liner and lashes and a nude lipstick. We are on track to be finished by 10:30, 10:45 at the latest. The photographer is coming at 11 and the wedding isn't until 12:30. No way are we going to be late for anything. Mother of the groom, quote, "I told you makeup was a huge waste of time and money. This is ridiculous." One bridesmaid pipes up. Bridesmaid, quote, says, "Mom," clearly her daughter, "Mom, you chucked a fit that you weren't invited to the makeup part of the morning. You're here now, so suck it up."
Good stuff.
Yeah. The groom's mom goes back to looking like she's sucked on a lemon while the other makeup artist looks at me uneasily. I shrug and finish up the bride, who squeals happily at the mirror and hops out of the chair to hug me. The last bridesmaid approaches and quietly asks if I could do her foundation instead. She has cystic acne on her face and is nervous that the airbrush won't smooth everything out properly. No worries. She hops into my chair and I start putting regular foundation and concealer on her, trying to match the glowy look we have on the other girls. Good makeup artist, by the way.
Absolutely.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
Mother of the groom, jerking her head around to look at everything while getting her airbrush done, frustrating my colleague. Why does she get proper makeup and we get spray paint? My colleague, cheerfully, "Oh, we're just getting things done quickly since you're nervous about the time." Mother of the groom seems to accept that and finally holds still long enough for my colleague to finish her foundation. Since I'm still working on the final bridesmaid, my coworker starts on her eye makeup. Mother of the groom, "Why are you doing my eyeshadow? Why isn't she doing it? She did everyone else's." My colleague reminds her of the time and keeps working. I finish up the final bridesmaid around the same time my colleague finishes up on the mother of the groom, who jumps out of her chair without a word and announces she's going back to her room to change. Sure enough, we're finished with half an hour to spare. As we're packing away our kits, the bride and the bridesmaid, who told mother of the groom to simmer down and apologized for the mother of the groom's behavior, it's apparently not the first thing she's exploded about even today, let alone in general about a wedding. Having worked with difficult mothers in wedding parties before, we wave it off with a few jokes. The bride asks if we have anything else on today, and no, we don't. So she asks if she can pay us to stay on and do final touch-ups before the ceremony, and maybe put some lip gloss on the flower girls when they arrive to make them feel a part of it. We agree and just move our kits off to the side and plan to go down to the hotel buffet to grab some food in the interim. We're downstairs eating about an hour later when two bridesmaids come bolting through looking for us. One of them is stammering apologies and the other one is just begging us to come with them. We all race back upstairs to find a crying bride in the hall and a very angry bridesmaid trying to console her.
Oh no.
We can hear shouting from inside the room. When we open the door and go in, we find that my makeup kit has been opened up and my eyeshadow palettes are scattered across the desk. The mother of the groom is crying and screaming at the bridesmaid, who is her daughter, who is livid and gesturing wildly and yelling back. Apparently, mother of the groom had decided she didn't want the airbrush makeup and had washed it off. She also didn't think that the tasteful brown eyeshadow we'd given her was right and had broken into my kit and dragged out my eyeshadow palettes. Honestly, if she'd only done that, I would have just been cranky, but oh no. She'd found my water-activated stage makeup and had attempted to use that to give herself blue eyeshadow. This stuff doesn't work unless you get it wet, so she just gouged massive holes into a bunch of colors trying to make it work.
Oh.
There were clumps stuck to her face. She'd also attempted to use my foundation kit to put her complexion products back on, but had shade matched herself wrong and applied it with her fingers since my sponges and brushes were in a locked part of my kit.
Thank God.
In the process, she knocked over the foundation bottle and it was everywhere.
Oh.
The angry bridesmaid finishes yelling to the mother of the groom, is still crying and screaming. Suddenly, the groom walks through the door and stares at the carnage. We're trying to salvage what we can from the bits of my kit she's trashed and clean up foundation. The bride is now locked in the bathroom crying.
Oh.
Groom, eerily calm, says, "Shut up, mom." Mother of the groom stops yelling. "What did you say to me?"
Whoa.
The groom said, "I said shut up. I knew you would do this." And sister bridesmaid knew you would do this. Bride insisted we let you come to the getting ready part because she wanted you to feel a part of the day. Well, congratulations. Now you aren't part of it at all. You are not welcome at this wedding. Wow. Mother of the groom tries to argue, amps up her crying and everything. Groom stands his ground like an absolute champ. After a few minutes, she huffs off, still screaming and crying. An older guy in a suit enters the room right as she leaves, having been screamed at by her in the hallway too.
Dad?
Older guy. Yeah. If you kids were ever wondering why I didn't stay married to that hag, that's why.
Boom. And dad, like, mic drops and walks out.
We dragged the bride out of the bathroom and redid her entire face. We got her to the church 5 minutes late, but by the time we were done, she was laughing and giggling with her friends again.
Oh, the makeup artists are my heart. They are the best.
Right?
Oh.
The groom's dad shoved a handful of 50s into my friend's hand and said he wouldn't take no for an answer and to replace the makeup in our kits his ex-wife had trashed. 99 out of 100 weddings go off without a hitch in the makeup process, but this one absolutely took the cake. My friend and I wound up at our cars, putting away our kits, staring at each other, asking, did that really just happen? Wackiest wedding day ever.
That is absolute insanity, and you guys are angels.
Right?
Oh my God.
I can't even. Oh my God.
So a big thanks to the listener that sent us that story, because holy shit, that was amazing.
Wasn't it? Oh.
Crazy.
Gold. Oh.
So a double D's this week. We have a divorce story. My dad's a lawyer, and during one case, the husband tried to argue that he was due compensation for the food that was in the pantry because he could not be guaranteed that his ex-wife would use it to, quote, purely feed his children and not his ex-wife's son from her first marriage.
That's cold shit. Oh my God.
That's like cold and petty rolled into one and multiplied by a million.
Yikes.
The judge just stared down at him for a good 4 minutes and didn't say anything. The husband eventually backed down.
Four minutes. He stared at him.
That's
great.
Can
you imagine? I'd be sitting there like, oh God.
Yep. Fabulous. And on that note, if you or anyone else you know is thinking about or having to go through a divorce right now and needs a little guidance in your ear, we've heard good things from some little birdies about the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. So hopefully it helps you through that difficult time.
I've vetted it. It's really good. So
there you go. So it's got Rebecca's seal of approval of quality. That's like official, you know, it's like government mandated. Yeah.
I'm going to make myself one of those little foily looking stamps.
Yeah.
And be like, here you go.
Boom. Boom diggity. Done.
Yeah. Like anything I say has any, holds any value.
Sure it does. Sure it does. Quick update on my psychotic neighbor.
Oh. She's still around.
Oh, yeah. She hasn't left. Although we think she might be planning on moving because, good God, I hope so. Because she has been renovating her house like mad.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe then.
And it's like, why do you do that all of a sudden out of the blue? But she is batshit crazy. So, I mean, I don't know. But we're seeing all kinds of work people coming in and out. And it's been going on for like months now. So we really think something's up. But Rebecca, every night from, I don't know what time, maybe 8 p.m. to like 2 o'clock in the morning, she is blasting music.
What?
Yeah. I know, of all things, she's blasting music with bass and you can hear it. I'm in bed trying to sleep and you hear like.
Is it her though? Is she even there?
It's her.
Maybe it's one of her kids that Maybe she died.
No, we think, no, we kept thinking she died. And then remember I saw her and I was like, nope, she didn't die. And it's also kind of like old lady music.
Oh.
It's not, I'm not talking like, I'm talking about like, I don't know what it is. I can't hear enough of it to really distinguish, but I know that it's not, I don't think it's like super modern. We're almost at the point where Justin's like, does it sound like the same song again and again? And I said, I think so, because we're starting to recognize patterns in it.
Yeah.
It's shaking our house a little bit and it's just subtle enough, but you can hear it's loud and it's going so late. And this has been happening for weeks.
Well, you can report it.
Oh, believe me. Yesterday, last night, I was sitting on the couch and I went, so Justin, do we call the police on her?
Yeah.
Considering everything. And he's like, let's just wait another day. And he has said also, if we call on like a Sunday night or a Monday night, they're going to take it more seriously than if we talk to them, you know, on another day. Like she's not, we can't talk to her. She won't answer her door. Like,
yeah,
even if we give her a letter or something, she's batshit crazy. She's just crazy.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to, she won't talk to us.
Yeah.
So even if we write her a letter and leave it, she won't do anything. I don't know.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I hope so I'm never that cranky in life.
Oh, I know. But the petty honestly in me just wanted to pick up the phone and be like, hey, so you know your buddy over there that loves to call the police on the entire street, including me. I'm calling on her now. So actually, Justin's like trying to be like, look, we're going to go in. If she keeps doing it, we're going to go in during the day to the police station. We're going to explain the ongoing problem. We're going to ask them what the best way to deal with it is because we know she won't be responsive to us. And I'm like, and if they get blamey with me over like last year, I said, I'm going to get so mad. And he goes, you are going to be quiet. And I'm
you know,
still mad.
I love your husband. I really do.
Mm hmm.
But I hate how he handles things.
Thank you. I am mad about it. He just doesn't want to rock the boat.
I would just make a phone call and be like, hey, so they're playing music after hours.
Yeah.
It's not allowed. So go do something about it.
I know.
That's it. I wouldn't play this being nice. Fuck that shit.
He's
that
trying.
Ship has sailed.
I agree. I tried to be nice to this woman and she shit all over my efforts. So,
yeah.
I'm going to shit all over her. I don't know. That's not accurate, but you get what I'm trying to say, right? I'm done trying.
Are we still allowed to, you know, put a paper bag of shit on people's doorsteps and light it on fire? Is that still allowed?
Were we ever allowed?
Oh, wait. It wasn't allowed.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Right?
Whoops. I never did that. No, I really didn't. I've never done that.
No, neither have I.
That's a movie thing.
Oh, I'm sure it's happened in real life. I'm sure it has. Also, Jill said the most hilarious. She had a good Jill moment the other day.
Nice.
So I was editing a family shoot that I did. OK, so it was a beautiful family, a previous client of mine that I had done the other day at an apple farm. And so it's like, you know, parents and little kids, whatever. And I was taking some candids of the kids in the pumpkin patch. Jill comes up to me and she's watching me edit the photos and she goes, Mommy, why are you spying on those kids?
Stalker.
Oh, yeah. And I said, what? And she goes, why are you spying on those kids? I said, I'm not spying on them. I'm a photographer. I took their pictures. She goes, did they know? And I said, yes, they knew.
That's so funny.
I said, of course they knew. I said, they paid me money to do this. They hired me as a photographer to take their pictures. And she goes, then why don't we have more money? Because I'm always telling her, like, she don't forget, guys, my kids are asking for things 100 times a day.
Yeah.
They see things in magazines. They see things in
the store. That age.
Well, they are 5 and 7, right? So they're like, Mom, can I have that? Mom, can I have that? Mom, can I have? And then so my basic default answer has just become, no, we don't have any money.
Yeah.
Or like, no, we don't have any money for that. No, we don't have any money for that. You know, the food that we put on the table, that's where our money goes to. Like, you know, I'm trying to be like, you can't buy everything you want because there's money that's limited and you need to apply it to certain things. So I'm trying to be like, no, there's no money for that. No, why don't we have more money? It's like, I had nothing to say. I was like, touche.
Have they ever said to you, because I remember when my kids were small and I would go to the bank machine to take out money. And I remember saying once to my daughter, I'm like, oh, no, I don't have money for that. And she's just like, then go to the machine and get some. Like, she just assumed it just spits money out at you. That would be amazing. I would love that
machine. That would be my best friend ever. No, because we don't use the machine.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
We never did, like, very rarely.
Oh,
very...
my God. Can you? I just want to see what she thinks about it.
Jill, like, eh? She'll be like,
oh, my God, where do I get one of those cards? I'm going to put it in and get some money.
No, what she would be, she's smart. She goes to the root of it. She would point to that machine and go, Mom, I want that for Christmas.
There you go.
She would.
Nice. I like it. That's amazing.
Oh, man, that cracked me up so hard.
That's funny.
My child, I don't know what to do with her, but she's funny.
My son was reading jokes to me the other night, and he's like, Mom, do you think this is funny? And he read it to me, and I died laughing, and he's just like, it's not that funny. I'm like, oh, but it is.
Oh, try me.
Dibs is not an appropriate response when your friend announces his divorce.
Next. Sloppy seconds.
Like, that's amazing. He's like, it's not that funny. I'm like, it is.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Me and Jill were hanging out and playing around with my phone, and we were asking Siri to tell us jokes. And she actually told one that I laughed really hard at, which I didn't think was going to happen. And I screen capped it for you. Okay.
Okay.
So I said to her, hey, Siri, tell me a super funny joke. She goes, and it's stupid as fuck, but I liked it. She goes, two giant wind turbines are standing in a field. One turns to the other and asks, what kind of music do you like? The second one says, well, I'm a huge metal fan.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty good, eh? For
That's
Siri?
Good. I like it.
And actually made, funnier, awesome. Made it funnier because it was in her voice, the Siri voice, you know?
Yeah. Robotic voice.
It was the robotic voice. It was actually pretty fabulous. So
that is good. I like it.
I think that does it for this week. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us on the Secret Life of Weddings podcast. And remember,
anything can happen at weddings.
And we will be here to tell you all about it.
Well, that's it for us this week on the Secret Life of Weddings podcast. If you need more drama in your life, go over to patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings to sign up for additional weekly episodes. The first few episodes are free, so go check it out, patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings, and we will see you here next week.